It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to yet another episode of A Talkette Moments. Today, I have one of my favorite people. She's actually one of my, I don't think she even knows how favorite she is. Wow, she's one of my fave, whatever the English is. Auntie Yabo, aka, I love calling you Auntie Yabo. I think from the show, it just stopped. Like every time Tony said it, it just stopped.
Tony did that.
And I'm always like, Auntie Yabo, I can't call you anything else but that. I just love it. How are you?
I'm good.
You look
I'm
really
fine.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thank you for keeping with the memo. I don't feel bad for wearing my shades.
Thank you.
Honestly, just when you walked in here, I was just looking at you and I said to myself, this has been a long overdue session.
It has.
Because I've been on your ass.
You have.
Trying to get you on this. And the only reason why I got you is because you needed me for something else. Because you know how you do. I will call you out. Because you call people out online.
So like this one is called trade by butter.
It is. Yeah, because I will call you out. Because every time you set your bonnet online and your ring light, everybody knows that you're about to drag somebody.
I'm about to
drag
someone.
So this is me dragging your ass back because it took us so long. When can I have you this week? I'm busy. And finally, only just because I'm seeing you right after this.
And I must say, like, this is my first podcast ever. I have turned down so many.
Why?
Now? Yeah.
Why? Why did you not want to do any before?
For me, my controversy started when I, you know, granted a lot of interviews way back then. And I noticed that a lot of things were taken out of context. And it kind of affected, you know, how I feel.
Yeah.
So because of that, I just don't like granting. I like to tell my stories. I just say my stories how I want it. And when you pick it from my page or how I have been able to tell my story, then it's fine. Because I know it's coming from me. Because a lot of times, you know, you say one thing and then the media or the plugs are putting out another thing. And you begin to say, oh my God, that was not what I meant. And how many people are you going to go back to and start explaining things? Oh, I just
kind That's of... true. Media relationship, it's a bit of a love-hate relationship that we're all stuck in this bubble. Because sometimes I tell people that, I understand the need for the agenda to agenda for these guys.
Yeah.
But then sometimes they also just don't know where to cross the
they
line.
They don't.
Do you
they
know
don't.
What I mean? Because it's like boundaries. I get it. You need the clicks.
Yeah.
You need people to come to your side.
And it's the narrative they put to it because they just take out a little bit out of and just put it on their plugs and, you know, mislead the people. Not a lot of people have time to go back and sit down and actually watch, you know, the show and see that, okay, that was not what you meant. I mean, they just took that out of context to like make whatever it is they wanted to make. I mean, news and make money from it. So that kind of just discouraged me. And I just felt to myself, I can't be doing this all the time. I just kind of took a back from that. And apart from the fact I'm always very busy.
So sometimes, you're a jack of all trades.
I'm always very busy. Always very busy.
So, I mean, before I delve into all the things that you do, because this is not really like an interview-based show, I feel like sometimes it gets really, you know, it just gets the same old, if you start asking people what they've answered before several times. And also because I know that I'm also behind the camera a lot of times as well. Yeah. I hate when I do interviews and you ask me the same questions I've answered so many times. I'm like, dude, check the internet. You have the answer to that. Yeah. But, you know, what would you say? Because you've lived so many lives. Like, we can't even wait to get into that. What would you say would be the one thing out there that, you know, the media wrote about you or said about you that really, really got to you?
So many things were written about me. It's not even one. It's multiple things were written about me. I'll start with my marriage first. The narrative came out when I said I was no longer married. I was separated at that time, not divorced. They painted a scenario saying my ex-husband was a marketer and I left him for another marketer or actor or whatever the story was. And, you know, he was rich. I collected all his money and then I dumped him. Like, so where did this story come from? You know, so my kids were young, so it was easy for me to deal with the emotional aspect of it because I knew that it was not affecting them in any way. They had no access. They were very little babies then. And so many.
Yeah.
There was a time, actually, I woke up one morning and I had over maybe 80 missed calls on my phone. And I was wondering what's going on. So I picked up, I thought, what's going on? He said, oh, yeah, but thank God you're okay. We've all been worried about you. And I'm like, I'm fine. Yeah, haven't you seen today's paper? I said, what happened? I think it was in, don't let me call names now. So but one of those papers, because I can't really remember whether it was Punch or one of those papers.
Mm-hmm.
Punch, I'm not saying it's you, but I know it was one of those papers because I can't remember. And then the headline was like, Yabo Joe keeps guns for arm robbers.
You're lying.
Yeah. And I was like,
wait. What?
Yes, a long time. So I had to send one of my staff to go get the news, the mag, or the newspaper. I can't remember. But when they brought it, I looked at it. I was like, this story. So I opened, you know the way they write the headlines in front and then you have to go in to read. So when I got there, it was another woman. Apparently, it wasn't me. But they put my picture there.
Mm.
Do you understand? And they wrote something about me.
Me, yeah.
Very tiny that you could not really see. And then they bolded the Iyabo Joe, you know. So a lot of people thought
that was the story. Poof. Yo.
You know, and for a while, every time I go somewhere, it's like, ah, you okay now? Sorry about that. I'm like, it wasn't me. Oh, really? Yeah. I said, it wasn't me. It wasn't not like it was a fake news.
Mm.
It was a real news, but it wasn't my own Iyabo Joe. It was one elderly woman then, you know. So many.
Recently, there was someone we know in the industry who caught a girl who was TikToking about her. I think about saying she pimped girls. I don't know, but she caught the pressing. And just hearing, I think I was following I saw one of the posts where the girl said that she only did that because she was looking for 200,000 naira to pay. I mean, this is one of the reasons why before the camera came on, we're talking about the need to go away sometimes. Because being stuck in this bubble.
I know.
Sometimes
can
it's like,
be very depressing.
How can somebody be looking for 200,000 naira and decide to run a fake story, not caring about all the years of hard work this person has built? And it's so funny how people go with these stories and believe it.
Yeah.
Look how you said you woke up and there was 80 missed calls.
I'm telling
what
you.
Are they calling you for? Like,
over,
I don't understand.
Over 80 missed calls. My phone was like, I just didn't stop. Because some people called me repeatedly, you know, like, it was crazy. It was. And I've had so many other stories like that. So many. There was a time they said my ex was a carpenter. I mean, I can't even begin to count. I mean, I had to go open the storage where I kept all the old pictures to bring out my wedding pictures, you know, that I'd totally forgotten.
Mm.
You know, remembering memories I didn't even want to go into anymore just to like... Because whatever it is that is directly affecting my children in a way, it gets me really emotional, you know? And I have to start trying to explain myself most of the time.
Well, well done to you. Like,
Thank you.
I would tell you the very first time I heard about you, I think it was a post you did when maybe one of your kids was turning 21. I don't know. Okay. I don't remember the age, 18. But there was this post you did where you put the pictures you just talked about.
Yeah.
And you talked about your life and how hard it was for you to raise kids by yourself.
Yeah.
And I remember reading that and thinking, you just don't know. You just see this person. You don't know all the things they've had to go through.
Yeah.
You know, just as a single mom, what was the hardest part of raising kids by yourself?
It was having to hide my pain.
Eesh.
You know, it was because I just said to myself, my kids, I'm going to love the hell out of them. And I'm going to raise them with so much love that I'm not even going to let them feel this mistake that I have made.
Mm.
You know, because, I mean, it wasn't their choice
to be born.
To be born into, you know, an unsettled home.
Mm.
So I said I was going to raise them in love. So even when I'm in my worst, you know, lows, I always have to hide. It kind of helped me build my strength, but it was painful initially having to do that. Most times I'm crying, they're coming in and wiping like, what's up, what do you want? What do you want?
Girl, you're stronger than I am.
Yes. My kids, I would never, if I'm going down, I would like say, okay, please, I could call one of my, please, can you take them out? Just take them somewhere. If I needed to vent most times. Sometimes I'm venting, they run into the room. What's going on? I say, I'm fine. My mom, you were shouting. No, I was just talking to somebody on the phone. Like, you know, I just kept lying. Christmas time, I have to always make sure for years. I mean, Priscilla clocked 15 or so before she could realize that. Hello? Yeah. You actually divorced? Like, because how did you do that? They never felt it. They never knew. I made sure that every Christmas, they get double gifts. Every Easter.
Well, for mom and dad?
Yeah, mom and dad.
Wow.
You know, yes. I did that for the longest of time.
Mm.
And every time they asked about their dad, oh, he's a traveler. Oh, your dad is a traveler. So they grew up with that. And I was like, hello, Agade. If you want to hear from these kids, you want to still be hearing their voice and you want to be seeing them, you better don't tell them another story. You're a traveler.
Wow.
You know, but I gave him access to see the children. I gave him access to everything.
Mm.
Sometimes he comes to the house even when I'm there just to see the kids. And
at what point did you know that the situation wasn't working? Because sometimes I feel like a lot of women stay in these unhealthy situations for the children. For the longest, you hear so many women, you know, say things like, the marriage was done, but I only stayed for my kids. And I'm going to be honest here.
Yeah.
If I had had a kid while I was married, I may have been one of those women.
Yeah.
Because I also had the trauma of losing both parents at the age of 8.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was adopted. I had a great life, which I'm thankful for. But there were times that I always sort of wondered what life could have possibly been like if that didn't happen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for the sake of my children, I may have just said, you know what, just because I wanted them to have, you know, as you said, gifts, mom, dad, I may have been one of those women. So I'm not even judging anyone right here. But, you know, what was the point where you knew that, you know what, I'm just going to leave. And did you not even leave with one, two? That's a whole, it's load. You know what I mean? If it's one child, I can even say, okay, I'll manage. You know,
I was young when I got married. And so I think a lot of decisions I took, if I was this age, I probably would not have taken it.
Mm.
Because now I'm more wiser, I have a better understanding about life. Now I am more exposed. I am more, you know, enlightened. So, but then I was coming from a place where I was already damaged as a child.
Mm.
Had been through, you know, when you come from a very wealthy home, well, you have to still raise yourself.
Mm.
It was like that.
Mm.
I didn't grow up to know my mom and my dad. And my mom and my dad, let me use that word, because I was living with my dad and my grandmother and his brothers, but my granny was my mom to me.
Mm.
Right? And my dad, I used to call him his name, Speedy, like what everybody calls him. My dad was not like a dad.
Mm.
You know, he was like a buddy. He was like a friend. He was like a brother. He was like an uncle, you know, because he enjoyed life too much, and he really didn't have time to pay attention to me, right? And me growing up in that kind of situation where I didn't even know what they called mommy. I didn't know I had the mother. I knew my mom was out when I was about 7. You know, and when I found out
about... Were they married or was it just a situation that happened?
They were not married.
Yeah.
They were never married. But they had my brother and they had me.
Mm.
And I was just... I used to go buy, sweet stuff in them. Just like, not too far away from the house. All these malams that used to sell sweets.
Mm-hmm.
We say wussy wussy. Then, and I saw this pretty woman sitting, you know, and every time I want to pay for my sweet, she will pay. And she'll tell me to come back. So every time I get back from school, I always used to go there to get free sweet. For a while, later I didn't see her anymore. And I don't think I've spoken about this. You know, for a while I didn't see her anymore. And one day I came back from school and my granny went to greet her, hug her, and then I saw. That was when I knew my granny was my granny. Mm. At that age, I still didn't know who. I didn't know whether my granny was my granny. I just knew I grew up in the midst of, we used to call her mama, my bro, my dad, you know. Then I didn't, they didn't sit me down to explain mommy, daddy.
Mm.
So even when I was growing up in school and they were teaching about mommy and daddy, I used to go back home and always ask
questions.
Mommy and daddy. And my granny would say, I'm your mommy and that's your daddy. And that's pointing to my dad. So I didn't know the difference, you know. I didn't understand. I was so confused and lost as a child. Growing up, you know, so, and we were young then, we hardly asked a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Unlike now when our kids can ask us deep questions and any questions. Yeah. I mean, when you ask just one question and they give you an answer, you should be grateful to God.
Yeah, sometimes they even snap at you and just be like,
oh. That happened.
Mm-hmm.
So when she told me that was my mom.
Wait, the woman who was giving you free sweets was your mom?
Yes.
You're lying.
Yes. When she told me that, and when I saw, I said, auntie. And my granny asked me, do you know her? I said, yes. She said, hey, you know, I said, yes, she used to stay at the, I mentioned the Malan's name, and he used to give us sweets, you know? And my mom was like, my granny said something to my mom, I didn't hear. And because, you know, I was, you know, while she was talking to me, I was taking off my shoes, you know, kids now. But I remember that situation because, I mean, that was one of the most shocking time ever in my life as a child.
Mm.
And I could remember her say, oh, that's your mom. And I'm like, I know her. And then she, yabo, come. And then she said, bye. And she sat me and my brother together. And she's like, that's your mom. I said, no, you are my mom. She said, no, that's your mom. I said, no, you are my mom. She said, no, that's your mom. I said, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was just.
Yeah. Isn't it wild how those memories stick? Like, you have those memories.
Yes, I still do. Like, I can play it back every time. I can never forget that day. And that was the beginning of my confusion.
that
was the beginning of all my confusion. Because then my granny had to do a lot of talking, telling me this is my dad, and then this is my mom, and my dad is her own son.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think my dad was like my uncle, but we just called him, like, they just said he was my dad.
Mm-hmm.
I was very confused about so many things.
Mm-hmm.
So then I had to explain everything for me. And you know, coming from that kind of situation, and then when I started getting raped, I really didn't know who to talk to about so many things. I just, for so long in my life, I really didn't know who to explain things to. I just knew that I wanted to get out of this situation and find myself in this situation. I wanted a better situation for myself. Because my mom, at that time, when I first met her and I was allowed to go with her to see her, she was talking to herself and she was a bit aggressive. And I was like, what's going on? You know, and later I found out she had mental health, which nobody explained to me. Not even my granny, not even my dad.
They probably didn't even know what it was back then.
Do you understand?
Thank God for the conversations now.
Yes, nobody explained to me. But I noticed that when I'm walking on the road with her, people are always talking. Da, 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 da. And there was always so much pity.
Mm.
People were always pitying me. They dashed me things. Oh, my. You know, and I didn't understand Yoruba until I was like 10, because my granny is Igbo, right? And we only spoke Igbo. Either she speaks at Igbo, which I don't really understand. I'm the worst of all day, but I mean, they speak Igbo, they speak English, and that was it. So Yoruba was something I learned on the streets. And when I went into secondary school, I started, you know, my Yoruba started getting better. You know, that's why today I still don't speak the Jile Yoruba. So I was, a lot of things my family did was they never explained a lot of things to me. So I really didn't know a lot of things. Now, for me, love was all about meals and bones. I don't know if you read that thing. And I was really addicted to it.
Those guys with the long hair. You know how they used to start their story, the back of his hair, and we just fell in love with the love that they always explained in those books.
And so when I found that I was pregnant, you know, and my baby, my ex-husband came and said, okay, you know what? I love you. I love you. Each of them said, I love you. I just believed that I love you. Mm. And I just went with the flow of the I love you based on the meals and bones that we used to eat. Mm. You know? When I got into the house, it was a different ballgame, you know. And for me, he was never there. So it was like, you know, when you're trying to find and form your own family where there's an understanding, there's growth. Mm. There's a journey that you guys can go together, and you find yourself that you're just living this journey all alone. Yeah. And this is what I was doing when I was I was by myself. I was on my own because nobody really explained anything to me. They only explained to me when the situation arises for them to do so. Mm. Do you understand? Nobody explained anything to me. It was that bad. The first time I saw my period, I didn't even know what period was. Yeah, I could remember running to my dad and just opened my legs. Ah, I'm bleeding. I went to my brother. They had to send me back to my granny. And then she had to sit me down and tell me, it's a woman's thing. Don't touch it. At that time, I didn't let any guy come close to me because of the lectures that my granny gave me. Yeah. So, like, I didn't know anything. I remember when I go to school, I wasn't wearing bra. I was always acting like a tomboy because I grew up among boys. Mm. And when I get to school, my best friend in secondary school, Tim Lade, was the first person who told me, yeah, but you have to be wearing bra. Mm. I said, what is called bra? Do you understand? And it's like, this is bra. You have to wear. Mm. So what I'm saying in a nutshell, that I grew up on my own, not knowing so many things. Mm. And I didn't want that. And for me, when my marriage got to that place where I knew that I was living with a total stranger and I didn't know so many things, he lied, said so many lies, which I don't want to talk about now because I want to respect my children. Mm. You know, and that kind of,
yeah,
I got to a stage, I was just done.
Yeah,
I said, you know what, my kids are not going to go through what I went through. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? And I'm not going to allow them be in a toxic environment because it was getting toxic. We're always fighting. I was always angry because it was always never there. And I was like, you know what, this guy don't love me. He said it the first night on the wedding night. He said it again. I'm gonna leave my children.
Well done. I mean, that was literally a crash course. It's amazing how, as I said, people just don't have any idea of all the demons you've had to fight through to get to this version of you. And this version of you is so beautiful and it's so inspiring. Yes. Because, you know, I remember the other day I was worried about the fact that, oh gosh, I've spent the last 13 years of my life focused on my career. Mm. You know, after my marriage crashed, I purposely didn't want to get married again for the longest. I used to tell people,
same year,
I don't want to get married. I don't want to get married.
I still don't believe in marriage.
I used to be so afraid of it. You know what I mean? Mm. And then I remember looking at you one day and thinking, this is someone who, there's a Yabo 2.0 that I can't explain. Mm. It's like, you just talked about two different people. You know what I mean? You did that, went through all of that darkness, raised these kids by yourself. And it's like, I look at you now and it's like, this is the best part of you.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Was that always, did you always know that life was going to get this good?
I always had that faith and belief that I would get better because I said to myself, I believed so much in a lot of things. And one of the things that, because there was a time in my life I was actually a born-again Christian. Mm. Yeah. And I read, which says, honor your mother and your father so that your days shall be long. I don't know why that quote refused to leave my head. Because I said, no, my dad was never like a dad. Why do I have to honor him? Like, do you know when you battle with things like that? Mm-hmm. I was like, my mom, I never really knew her. Why do I have to honor her?
And I raised myself. These guys were supposed to protect me.
I did everything. My dad, my mom, they don't even know the secondary school I went to. Mm. Do you understand? But it got to that stage where those words just...
Wait, you sent yourself to school?
My granny
did that. Because I would just be like, wow.
My granny did that. But my granny, you know, when I was getting to my teenage age, she was already getting very old. Mm. You know, so she put me in secondary school. The first secondary school she put me in, there was some issues at the time. I couldn't go to school for a while. Nobody even asked me, yeah, but why aren't you going to school? But the only thing they do is, I need 100 naira. They'll give me. I mean, I had so much money that in, when I was going to school that I could feed the whole class, my old classmates. Yeah. Mm. You know, like I had access to money, but nobody like had time to sit down and ask me questions or what was going on in my head. And even when I swapped my school, when I changed, nobody even knew I changed my school until I was like in SS1 or 2. I was in a private school. I didn't want to go to a private school anymore. I wanted to go to Maryland Comprehensive. Mm-hmm. And so I...
Right, because you had friends there?
No, because I just loved the school. Okay. You know, they used to wear this yellow, buttered colored uniform. And I just liked it. And I just wanted to go to that school.
Yeah.
And I went and I applied. They told me I can't apply. I have to go get somebody. I went to rent my dad's girlfriend, you know, at that time. I said, that's...
Where did you get all the street sense from?
I don't know. I just, you know, I'm just like, I don't know. And I took her. And she said, okay, you want to change your school? I said, why? I said, man, I lied. I said, my granny. Mm-hmm. Said I have to change the school. So she didn't know. And my granny doesn't like her. So she could not go and ask for my granny. Mm-hmm. And my dad really didn't care. You know, so she followed me. She acted like my mom. Mm-hmm. I got the form and then they sent me to National College Bagada. I got a transfer there. Mm-hmm. I was angry initially, but I was like, okay, let me even go try that. I got to the school. I liked it. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? I liked the ghetto, the everything. I didn't like that posh secondary school that I went to initially. I just liked that one.
The street. And
my granny was giving me, like, she was sending money to that school, and they didn't tell her
that you had left.
I'd left, you know? And then later, they called her and said, Ma, we just discovered that you've been paying money for Yabo's, but she's not in our school. I think there's a mistake somewhere. And then my granny was like, there's no mistake somewhere. And she called me. I said, yes, I've changed my school. She said, why? I said, I just changed it. Where? I said, National College. Why did you change your school? I said, because I want to change my school. I like that school. I said, no, but it's a government school. You went to Grace Children's School. You're supposed to go to Victory Grammar School. Why are you changing your school to National College? That's a government school. I said, no, but that's the school I want. Mm. I was very stubborn. I said, okay, if that's the school you want, that's fine. Mm. And nobody went to my school. Nobody went to check. The only time that someone, an uncle, went to my school was when I caused an issue.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So for me, it was a whole lot.
I want to ask you, do you think you forget? I mean, because it's sometimes when we look at the things we've gone through, and even when family lets us down, it hurts more than even strangers. Yeah. Because these are people that are supposed to protect you. Mm-hmm. And for instance, you know, all my life I'd heard stories about when my parents were passing, like when my mom, you know, had passed on and my dad died. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I was very angry with the dead for a lot of years because I just felt like there was this unresolved anger, then I did not know what to do with the anger because I felt like, okay, if one of you even had to die, y'all had four children. Like, dude, like, did one of you not just talk to each other in the afterlife to be like, dude, is this how this love was doing us? Do you understand that we decided to live together and leave four children? Yeah. I mean, my foster parents did the best they could, but I was rebellious because I was angry. Did you, because I'm sure you probably went through times where you look back and thought, I raised myself. Like, how did you come to terms with forgiving your parents?
I forgive them after I read that part that says, honor your mother and your father so that your days shall be long.
Have you ever spoken to them about how it
happened? I did. I spoke to, they both apologized to me. And you see, when I was younger, I was angry. But as I grew up and I matured, because I matured very early, right? I began to understand that it wasn't my mother's fault, because she had mental health issues, you know? And I began to read more about mental health. And then I began to love her more and understand her. Though it is never easy to take care of someone that has mental health, trust me. Because I had to do a lot of talking to my children also, because at the time she came to live with me and they all grew up seeing this woman who was always talking to herself and sometimes getting very angry and aggressive. And I had to make my children understand that she's not a witch and she's not wicked. It's just a mental health, you know, working.
She's sick, and basically.
She's sick. And so my kids, after a while, they kind of were afraid of her. But later they understood and they knew how to navigate around her. So I had forgiven them. Because the way, you see, I feel the way God sometimes designs your life. Because you sit back and you wonder, what was I even... I mean, I used to ask myself, there was a time I was born again and I was in the choir and I was so deep in and you know, everything I do, I'm very, like, how like
what's your zodiac sign, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm Sagittarius.
Okay.
But you know, I'm very like you're aggressive. Never half
measures. You're always all the way in.
So when I was in church between the age of 19 till I had Priscilla, I was very rooted in the Word of God. And but in every verse that I had read over and over, it was just that particular verse that never left my head.
Mm.
And I feel that God was preparing me.
Mm.
You know, He was preparing me because I had to forgive my parents so that I could move on, so that I could know that I did not deserve the marriage in which I found myself in. Because I was looking for someone to the love I did not directly get.
Mm.
Now, my dad loved me, but my dad, which I've never really talked about before, was a drug addict. Do you understand? He was a rich child that came from a spoiled home, and he was a drug addict. He had access to so much money because my grandfather was so rich.
Mm.
You understand? And he's the late pa, Ogunro. Because my son's name is actually Ogunro, not Ujo.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad was a spoiled child with his brothers, and they all they did was drink, smoke, and live
life.
Right? You know, so, but my dad never had time to sit with me and talk. The only time my dad sat down with me and spoke to me was when I was getting married. He was like, no, you can't marry that guy. He's from a poor home. I mean, I heard you he lives in Mushi. Where's Mushi? How can you go to Mushi? And I heard you entered the public transport to go to Mushi. Are you gonna live in Mushi? I heard that. I know that. Okay, no. This time I'm going to get married to you. Like we had a big fight.
Mm.
I was like, okay. All right, let the guy come. And when he came, my dad told him, oh, mom, come. You can't marry my daughter. I'll kill you. Because my dad was gangster like that. I was like, no way, dad, you can't talk to my husband like that. I said, he's not your husband, you're not married. And my dad was serious because on my introduction, he got up, he left. He refused. You know, my granny and his own elder brother married me off to my husband. So, I mean, that was the first time. I said, me too, I disown you. We disown each other.
Mm.
Because, you know, my dad was not really like a dad.
He was like a friend.
He was like a brother, like an uncle, like, mm-hmm. you know. But, and he was never strict. That was the only time my dad had never raised his hand to, you know, tap me like this. I became his mom even at a very young age. You understand? So all that. For me, when I could forgive all that and let go of all that, and I didn't have to question my mom, why did you leave me? Why didn't she had her own story anyway? Mm-hmm. My mom, my granny, and my dad came to take us away from her, blah, blah, blah. But you know, I was angry initially when I was young. And when I first got raped, I was still angry. And after my second rape, I gave my life to Christ. I started going to church. And when I saw that part in the Bible, I was like, I had to let it go. And I started paying attention to my mom. Ever since, I would take money from my granny, from my aunt. Everybody used to give me money in the house. So I'd collect money from everybody, save it up. My auntie, there was a time I went to live with her. She's married to one of the Ebenezer Obey's sons. I'd collect all the money from all of them. And I always used to go and give my mom. So at the age of 13, do you understand? I started giving my mom money, though I had not really forgiven her. Mm-hmm. And I have not really shown her so much love, but I just knew that I had to take care of this woman, right? Yeah. So I used to go give her money, you know, until when I got to like 17, 18.
Mm.
Then when I gave my life to Christ, I now spoke to my pastor and I went through counseling and then I started relating with her because then nobody could talk to me. No one could tell me, hey, if my mom says, hey, yeah, I said, I don't, you were never there, so you can't advise me.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that all of these things also helped you to be the best version of the mother you never had for your kids?
Yes.
Because so, I hear you talk about how you took so much pain for those children.
And that's why for me, I knew I was going to be great in life.
How did you not give up? I have to ask this because
I just, it's like, I could not.
I thought I've had a hard life and then I look at you, I'm like.
I could not give up because, I mean, how can I be born into a family whereby I had to be the one fitting in on fixing all the puzzles together myself. I had to be the one asking questions. I remember when I had to fill my form for second, I had to go and ask my uncle, what state am I from? Do you understand? I mean, I had to ask my uncle, what state am I from?
Mm.
He said, oh, you're from Abeokuta, we are from the Ogunro family. Okay. Because I really didn't know nothing. Mm. Nobody really said anything to me. Mm. And I didn't want my children to grow up like that. And that's why people say, I remember when Priscilla was 13 and I spoke to, was it Punch? I said, I speak to my daughter about sex and all that. And they were like, oh, is she not too young? And some people came, you know, attacking, oh, she's 13, how can you be so? I have to, because I didn't know anything. In fact, I think I was already in my 30s before I knew that there was a difference between where your pee comes out from and when your child comes out from.
There's a difference?
Oh, no, of course, you're clean. I was so naive about so many things.
Oh, yeah, you're right, actually.
I was...
Oh, wow.
You know, when I went to my husband's house the first time when he was still dating, I didn't even know that they was facing me and slapping me. You see, sometimes, don't blame the rich when they don't understand the problems of the poor, because these children never know exactly. Yeah. If I never went to National College, I don't know how God prepared my life. I probably won't understand what poverty is all about. Mm. I won't understand why people are shouting every day. Mm. In my house, in Obanikoro, number 2, Fawole Lane, we had a industrial generator. I don't even know that. I never knew there was anything called like NEPA, up NEPA and down NEPA. Mm. Once the light goes off, it comes on, like in 1 second, the light is up. Mm. My granny was like one of the richest women in those days. I had the car to myself that takes me to school and bring me back. The only time I experienced poverty was when I married my ex-husband.
How was that for you? Because initially, you came from home where there was always light, and then you had to now manage with this guy.
It was fun. I remember the first time that...
Let me tell you why it was fun. Because you had lived in wealth.
Yes.
So this was like some sort of journey, an adventure.
Yes,
for you.
It was an adventure. And you know...
Imagine poverty being an adventure, girl.
You know, and when I clocked 18, yeah, I had an account open for me, because my grandfather had done his will in a way whereby money was paid into our account as grandchildren. So I had money. You can imagine, as a 1997, 98, I had over 100 and something thousand in my account. Do you understand? As a 25, 26 years ago, little monies that they put into our accounts for, you know, whatever domestic things that we wanted to buy. And I never used to use it. So, I mean, I didn't know what they call poverty. I was never broke. I just never had the attention I wanted. Mm. I never got the attention, based on the kind of parents I had. My mom was never there. Even after she came for a while, she took us. I ran away. Mm. I ran back to the house because I couldn't live with her mental health. I didn't understand all that. And I wanted to go to school. And my mom didn't have time. Because sometimes she's in her moment. And my mom denied medication. She refused medication because she termed it as spiritual. She never accepted that there was anything wrong with her. So I had to run back to my dad's house. I didn't even meet my dad. I met my granny. And I mean, so for me, when I went there, the only thing I just wanted was the attention that I was getting at that time. The whole, you know, the people living in the house with him, I thought they were all family. It was gradually I knew that they were tenants. I never knew what was called tenants, because in our home, there's nothing called tenants. Anybody coming to live, there's either family or someone's friend or someone's, you know? Mm-hmm. There was like, okay, tenants. Oh, I thought that woman is everybody's mom. I said, no, that's the landlady. I said, oh, okay, your mom. Your mom is late. But I thought she was like your mom's sister. I said, yeah, but this is a rented, like people can rent one room. Oh, you can rent one room for real? I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And when they took light and we had to spread the mat outside, I was so happy. It was fun until, you know, it hits me. When I started getting broke, you know, because I had to first withdraw all the money I had in my account. And that's why I opened my first shop. I was 21 when I opened my first shop.
Yeah, you're quite the entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Because you're always doing something.
Yeah, because they cut me off. They literally cut me off everything. The money was not entering into my account. They didn't freeze my account. My dad actually did that. But we had the fight back and forth, and then they allowed me to take my money. And when I took the money out of that bank, I knew this book can freeze this account. So I just went straight. Mm. But they even stopped giving me anything. I didn't receive nothing. And so then it started happening to me. Like, okay, no money.
Yeah.
How am I going to survive? I said, oh, God, come bring money. It's like, I don't have money. What do you mean you don't have money? But you told me this. So the problem started. And everything was just going on and on. But I knew I was going to be great, because the moment I could find it in my heart to forgive my parents and love them and take good care. I took good care of my dad because all while my dad was fighting me not to get married, he was already dealing with kidney and liver problems. And he didn't know. He kept that away from us. You know, he got to a stage, I mean, I even offered to give him my kidney. They said, he got to a stage where he was just unrepairable. They even told him when he was going to die. Do you understand? He got really bad because my dad never stopped taking. Mm. In fact, they had to always smuggle it in. I would always fight everybody. You know, so he got that bad. Mm. He got that bad that he had sold almost everything he had on drugs.
That's crazy.
Do you understand? And when it was time for him to have money to really take care of himself, the money wasn't really forthcoming anymore. Mm. Do you understand? And then I had to step in. Mm.
You know what I like about you? I like the fact that there's always room for evolving. You know how a lot of people would go through everything they've gone through and be one dimensional and feel like life is this, so I'm going to be this way. Mm. You know, look at you still being open to love. Even after you've been raped and after you dealt with this marriage that didn't work, and now you're well in your 40s, and it's like life just started again for you.
Yeah.
There's something childlike about you now.
There's a life has to always start. I remember when I was clocking 40, I said, I wasn't really happy when I was clocking 40 because I didn't have a home of my own. Then I didn't have my own house. I was like, I said before I'm 40, I want to have my own house. This money is not enough. Blah, 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 blah. Do you know? And God has been so gracious to me that he has brought a lot of people my way that has really helped me in so many ways, But I knew that I wanted to be beautiful. You know, I remember my friend would say, yeah, boy, you know what? It's your time. Just leave it. Just enjoy it. Just have fun about it. It's time to just move away from, you know, whatever it is that you find yourself doing right now and start to reinvent yourself. And so I said, okay, no problem. I'm going to throw myself a 40-day party, make a lot of noise, and then we'll take it from there. And I did.
You know, you're giving me courage now because I turn 40 next year. Uh-huh. And, you know, I'm having those thoughts.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear, I'm not 39 yet, but I hear that 39 is when you go through almost like the lowest of lows before you turn 40.
Yeah.
And I think it started early for me. You know, I've started thinking, geez, you focused on your career so much.
Yeah.
Okay, you've bought homes for yourself.
Yeah.
You're doing well
for
yourself.
You've done well.
Thank God. But you don't have a child. Mm. And then, you know, it's like silence. Mm. And it's like, dude, you know, have you missed out on that opportunity? So it's beginning to weigh down on me. But every time I see your video pop up, I look at you and I'm just like, this is someone who is well in her 40s, found love again. Living life unapologetically. Yes. I'm like, hey, God.
That love thing was, I don't know. I think God did that one. It wasn't me.
Girl. Like, I like how you smile when we talk about this. Because there's, you're like a little girl again.
I love him. I love Polo so much. I don't know how that happened, but it happened.
Wow, girl. You have to tell me, were you open to the possibility of like, I mean, your kids are grown now, so clearly you must have had relationships, you know, all through the years.
Yes,
but how did you know that? Okay, you know what? I'm going to be all in this one.
Okay, so.
Look how you're blushing. You know, I mean, it's giving me hope, Sha, that at least, you know what I mean?
To. Like, everything I ticked and said I was never going to do or believe in, he kind of changed the narrative for me. Because, I mean, no one has ever slid into my DM and I would like, give you at 1 second attention. It's not possible, you know. And I never knew him. Mm. I never knew him. And when his message popped up, I was like, okay, who's this one? So I went on his page first, checked him out. I saw his page was verified. So I checked. I said, okay, this one is not saying all these pro stars. Okay. So I noticed that he knows a lot of musicians and stuff. I don't want anybody in the entertainment industry.
We're so alike. That's how I am.
I don't want story. Oh my God, my story is going to be out every blessed day. No, I'm not doing this. So that was like a no for me.
Mm.
I was like, I'm not dating any of that thing now. I'm not. But I just felt like, okay, let me just respond. You know, because I mean, I said, can you respond? I'll just respond. It's someone like this, you just keep them one corner as a friend, but don't date them. So I just said, yeah. Is that good? I was like, he has begged me never to say what he wrote. So he sent the message. I like responded. I greeted him. And he was like, he wanted to invite me over for his show. One Africa in Dubai.
Do you think that him seeing you on Real Housewives helped? Because let me tell you,
he had asked me out before Real Housewives.
Let me tell you why I asked that question. I feel like a lot of people have always known about the legendary actor. Yeah. You know, you can't talk about Yorubaya Nollywood and your name wouldn't come up.
Yeah.
You know, top five, it would always be Funke Akindele, Iyabo Ojo, and Ola Badmus. They would always mention, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Real Housewives was
way
off your alley. I mean, the first time I heard you,
we had not even started shooting Real Housewives.
When you guys met?
Yes, because we started, for me, Real Housewives started filming on my mom's burial party.
Okay.
You know, and that was November 21. Mm. And he slid into my DM in October.
Okay.
So it wasn't even, I had not even started. But we started filming proper the following year in January, which was 2022.
Mm.
So when he did that, he said he wanted to invite me for his show. And I'm like, I'm traveling. I'm not going to be able to come. Even if I wasn't, I was going to go. You know, but I wasn't going to go.
Mm.
But I used that as an excuse. I said, okay, when you come back. I said, okay, but I'm not interested in dating you. I mean, he said, okay, that's fine. It's good that you're in a relationship. I said, but why don't you want to date me? I said, because you're a married man. He said, no, I'm not married. I said, oh, my God. And I went back on his page. I said, check it for him. This one, you know, like when you want to catch somebody.
Yeah.
Then I started calling. Started calling my close friends. Come, do you know this person? He said, oh, I know him. He's a nice man. I'm not asking if he's a nice man. Is he married? My friend said, I don't know. But I know he's, you know, he has a daughter. He has a son. You know, he's a very good dad. He loves his children. But I don't know whether he's married. This one does not want to give me gist.
Mm.
You know, when I met Chioma, you know, I would just ask anybody that I know, like, know him. I just kept asking questions about him. So one day he said, are we going to speak on the phone like this? I said, okay, send your numbers. I said, are you married again? He said, I'm not married. How can you not be married?
Why are you not married?
He said, why are you not married?
Yeah.
He said, ha, wahala. Am I under interrogation? I have two children and I'm good. You know, it didn't work out for us and that's it. I said, okay, but I'm not, I have no intentions to date you.
Hmm.
He said, okay, it's fine, but at least can we do dinner?
Wow.
I said, but I don't
like a persistent man.
Yes. I said, but I don't want to date you. He said, we can be friends now. We don't have to be enemies. Said okay. I have a boyfriend. He said it's no problem. I'll just be one corner there and be your friend.
Mm.
You know, I reluctantly I called Layoli. You know Layoli?
Yes.
I said, Layoli, this man said we should go for dinner. She said, go, Mr. Polo, go for dinner. I said, what a baby? I'm not going. I don't know what to wear. She said, yeah, but with those million clothes you have in there, you have one to wear. Just go. What is wrong with you? Just go. I said, I don't want anything that will be on social media.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want I just don't want it. He said, just go. The wallet is too much. So I went. And we said, excuse me, sir. They said, you're into brand stuff. I'm not here for you to give me a job. He said, why are you always attacking me? I said, let me attack you. Mm-hmm. I'm not here for that. I have a boyfriend. So let's eat and let's go. And you know, he was just like, okay, you know what? It's fine. So one day again, I don't know what happened. I just sent him a message. I said, I don't want to date you.
You just sent him a random
message. Yes, I don't want to date you. So can we just like, you know, all this thing that we are doing? He said, okay, it's fine. But as at that time, I got so used to calling him every time and he calls me too. And I will be gisting him. So I felt like I'm already telling him too many things about
me. Yeah.
And I'm like, but you don't even know this person. You're just telling him too many things about you. Is it because you don't want to date him? But you don't know him. So, you know, just cut it off. So I just called him. I said, you know what? I don't think I want to do this again. He said, okay, it's fine. No problem. But can we be friends? I said, yeah, we can be friends, but I don't want to like talk to you
all the time.
He said, okay, no problem. It's fine. I'll give you your space. But just know that I'm not, you know, in one corner there. I said, okay. So one day he didn't call. Second day he didn't call. This guy is not calling me. You know? I'm doing hard girl.
Hard
you
girl,
know?
Hard girl.
Okay. So I'm like, let me just use Shakara and
Just check up on him.
I just said, hi. Say, my old beam. I said, no, I'm not your old beam. I just said, hi. Say, I know you are my old beam. Hey, you're going to love me. How are you? Do you want me to call you? Do you have something to tell me? Do you want to take something off your chest? I said, yes. Hey, I even want to talk about this, you know? Because then we had started Real Housewife. Yes, and yes. I was like, I want to talk about this. And then he would just stay on the phone. I can be on the phone with him for 2-3 hours. I'm just talking. This man is just there listening to all the bullshit I'm talking about.
Oh, that is so sweet. You know what? I'm just thinking again, Rizzi, you got your nails and bones.
I'm telling you.
You actually did. I did. Because this is like one of those funny stories how the man likes the girl.
I did get my nails and bones. But, you know, one thing again, when we started talking, I said, okay, you know what? I like you. But I don't believe in marriage. He said, me too, I don't believe in marriage. Okay, we're on the same.
Hey, yeah.
I'm not having kids anymore. Say, are you funny at 55? Am I going to be thinking of kids? Okay, two, check. Okay, one, two. I just want to have a companion, mm-hmm. someone that we can be friends. But I would love to travel. I like to travel. And I said, oh, good. I also like to travel. Okay. So, like, he was just marking all the checks for me. Tick, 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 tick. And I said, okay, you know what? I think this is it. And then we started. And then you saw us. And then you videoed us.
I was like, what is going on here? Let me tell you guys what happened. So, I went to this event. And Polo, of course, Polo, like, Oga Polo, we're always like, ah, Oga Polo, what's new? We talk all the time about work and stuff, and he always looks out for me in this industry.
Yeah.
So I greeted him, and of course, I know her. So we're, but I didn't know they were together. They sat in front of me, and next thing I just saw his hand. I was like, what is going on here? And I was the last person. Anybody on the table was like, they are together now. I said, wait, what? But it was so beautiful because these are two people who've lived life, traveled different journeys. And the reason why I wanted us to have this conversation is there are lots of women, who myself included, who are probably at a point in their lives where they feel like they've missed the boat. You know what I mean? Either they focused on building a career or they, you know, left the marriage and they just don't think they can get it back.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be alone. And out there, the dating game is trash.
I used to say I was never going to, like, get married or be in a relationship.
I mean, not marriage, at the end of the day, is just a piece of paper.
Yeah.
What you have with someone might be greater and bigger than people who've been married for 20 years. As long as you have had your fair share of lives, he's lived his life, you've lived yours, you've been through a marriage, you've raised two beautiful kids, he's got two kids, so it's a blended situation. And as you said, traveling the world, having a soulmate you can talk to for hours on the phone, supporting each other.
Yeah.
What again are you looking for?
I mean, you know, when I knew it was him for me, I hate video calls. Especially if you're not my friend.
Tell me about it. I hate it too.
If you're not my friend. Unless a guy today
who actually tried that nonsense with me. You know how he took my number and used to, what's that? iMessage, because he lives abroad. And I will respond sometimes. And guess what? This morning, I know I'm never talking to him anymore.
I hate video calls.
I didn't even pick up. I was just
for
like,
me, WhatsApp is my private space.
Yes.
So I have blocked over 12,000 people on WhatsApp. Over. I'm sure by now if I check it, it's more than that. Because you come on my WhatsApp, I don't know you, and you say hi, I'll block you. I just feel it's my private space. You can do that on Instagram, on all social media platforms, it's fine. But on my WhatsApp, nah. And even if you're my friend, we have to get to that kind of level where you'll be doing video calls with me, you know. For him, it's always video call. Always video call. That's it. And I love it. Even when he doesn't call me on video call, I'll be like, why aren't you calling me on video call?
How did you tell your kids about this relationship?
Oh my God.
What did they think? Well, I mean, over the years, I'm sure they probably have been telling you that it's okay.
When we started the relationship, a month or so, it was Festus' birthday, and I wanted to go surprise him, you know, in Turkey. So what I did was I called Priscilla. I'm like, Priscilla, I want to talk to you. And she's like, yes. I was like, okay, no, that's not. Let me remember. Now, Priscilla traveled to London, and she went for Kiss Daniel's show.
Hmm.
Then he was still
in charge of Kiss Daniel.
He was still trying to ask me out. Okay. He was in charge of Kiss Daniel, but he was still, you know, toasting level.
Mm.
And he did that was the first time he did a video call. He did a video call and he was like, say hello to my daughter.
He was your daughter?
Yeah, his daughter, Vanessa. Okay. And I was like, hello, auntie, how are you? Oh my God, I love Vanessa. Because the way, you know, you will meet I'll call her my stepdaughter. I'm not married to Polo, but she's like a daughter to me. Mm. I put stepdaughter because I have to respect her mom. Yeah, her mom. So I just like, hello, hi, oh my God, I love you. I mean, she was so warm. She was so loving. And she was one of the reasons why I think I started looking towards that direction also. Because I was like, okay, she was the way she greeted me. Yeah. And she was, hi, I was like, hello. And she said, oh, Priscilla is here. I was like, oh, really? Are you guys close? Said, yes, I'm Priscilla. I've been to your place before. I came to Priscilla. Did you remember me? I felt so bad. I thought, hi. I thought she was just one Priscilla's friend. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know her then. Mm-hmm. And she came to me. She came into my office. I greeted her, but I didn't know that was going to be my future
stepdaughter.
Mm-hmm. So she reminded me. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. My dear Priscilla has a lot of friends. So I just try to keep up. Mm-hmm. It's like, and then he gave the phone to Priscilla. I said, ah, Priscilla, mommy, how are you? Okay. So let's, you know, Priscilla,
I'm sure Lisa, she sent you a text.
Like, what, yeah, like, yeah, what
is this situation?
What's going on? Yeah. I was like, nothing. It's just a friend. So fast forward to when we now started dating. You know, mm-hmm. I'd made so much mouth for Priscilla when she came because she kept teasing me. Ah, how is your Igbo? How is your Igbo sugar daddy? Yeah. And I'm like, hello, it's not my sugar daddy, it's not my boyfriend, it's nothing. She's like, are you sure? Okay. Mommy. You know that lie that used to lie to us when we were younger? You can't be lying again. We can see clearly, we understand. I said, there's nothing. So eventually, when I was going to travel, I was like, okay, Priscilla, traveling. I'm going to have a discussion with Festus. I know you're suspecting already. He said, you and your uncle, I know you guys are dating. I said, how did you know? I said, I know me and Vanessa, we gist. I said, so you guys talk about us. I said, yes, all that Kurukere people have been doing. We've been seeing you in shows and all this corner going, we know you guys are dating.
It must be so cool to have a daughter at that age that you can
She's with. Just so understanding. I said, but do you like him? She said, oh, yes, I like him. He's a nice man. I said, just because you met him one day, said, no, he's, mom, I can tell he's a nice person. And Vanessa talks a lot about him.
Mm-hmm.
And for Vanessa to have so much good things to say about her dad means he's a good dad. Mm-hmm. And you've always said that you admire good dads. So if you're a good dad, you're definitely going to be a good husband and a good boyfriend. So let's say 50-50. Let's see. If you guys start, we'll know.
Mm.
Okay, so she gave me heads up and she encouraged it. And I got motivated by that. I was like, you know what? Let's travel. Because Festus is the main one.
Festus is the
mommy's boy. You know, and I'm like, okay. And he's so reserved. So you can really not know what is going on in his head.
Yeah. But
from his mannerism, because I'm his mom, it's easy for me to dictate if he likes someone and he doesn't really like that person.
Mm.
So I traveled. And when I did, told him, and he was like, see this woman, no. And he started laughing.
Well, he'd known.
No. He was just laughing. And I said, what happened? He said, Priscilla gisted me. I said, Priscilla gisted you. She gisted me that. So what was happening now? Why are you taking permission? Why are you seeking permission?
I feel like I'm going to cry on this show. That is so
sweet. I said,
but
I have to seek permission from you because I don't know if you're okay with, you know. He said, mom, I'm an adult and I'm living my life. And whoever it is I find today, I'm going to love that person. And you have to love that person with me if you truly love me. And you've always said it to us that when we find someone we truly love, you're never going to stop us from loving that person. And your observations about that person really does not matter 100.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? If that's who you want, that's who you want. So that if that's who you want and he's making you happy,
then we are
happy. As long as you're happy, then I'm happy. If he's not treating you fine, then that is when we're going to have issues with him. So if you're good, I'm good.
That's so
I was like, okay, my kids are grown, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I love the closeness between you and your kids and how you raise them to always have a voice and how to always come to you and have that conversation. It's so amazing. Mm-hmm. And of course, we cannot round up the interview without talking about Yabo Ojo, the TikToker, because it's like, as I said, she's like 2.0. Even the Gen Z can relate with me.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Yes. How did you become so relatable? Because a lot of people are stuck reinventing themselves, as you said, you know.
Yeah.
So you started out in the English and then focused more on Yoruba.
On Yoruba.
And then crossed over with this reality TV show. Everyone got to see
I started with you, but then I went back to English. I started producing my own English movie. So I did Silence. I did Beyond Disability. I did Twisted Twins. You know, I did a couple of English movies. I started doing cinema movies. Mm. And then I switched into, what's it called, hospitality. So I started focusing more on my business. You know, as
did you got this karaoke?
Yeah, because I had the lounge then, you know, the eatery and everything, the Abula spots. You know, then I started doing more business, bringing my boutique business back, going into interior decor. You know, just doing the salon business. I was doing so many business, and at that time, I didn't even have time acting my Yoruba movies anymore, or even producing English movies. So I took a break. And I said to myself, even if I'm going to go back to production, I'm not really doing Yoruba anymore, you know. And then I got myself a manager who was Layoli and who said, you know what, Yabo, we're going places. Because then COVID happened.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got locked down.
Yeah.
And I started doing TikTok.
Yeah. I started TikTok too, but you just took over.
I know.
Because I would be like,
now you guys started, and then but you guys started the posh way, so I went the ghetto way.
Is that what it was?
That's what it was.
I just thought I would watch your TikToks forever and be like, oh my God, she's so
You know, you guys,
funny.
You guys are doing it for fun. I took it like a career. It
was like, I didn't have enough time for it.
I'd missed acting.
Yeah.
I'd missed, you know, all that. And I was like, you know what? And this Priscilla actually taught me how to use TikTok.
Yeah. But you're so good on there as well.
So.
And then why did you decide to do the reality TV show? What was it that made you say, you know what, I'm going to do this?
I think I love reinventing myself, and I love trying new things. Mm-hmm. I love trying new things, you know, because I believe that there's so much in one person, so much in a human that you can exploit. So I just thought, you know what, okay, let's give it a try.
Mm.
Let's see how it goes.
Until
I was a little bit, you know, skeptical about it initially. I was like, ah, God, people are going to know me, you know?
No, but I would tell you this. You're one of the... I always used to say this, even it's nice for me to say it to your face. I think you're very beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Like, I say this, yourself, Mercy Aibe, I think you guys are stunning.
Yeah.
Mercy's like, even beautiful. Watching you, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're stunning. Your features are
so
great.
Yes,
so
I'm beautiful. I am beautiful.
Yes, she is, as you can see. And please never lose this child. Like, this is working. I absolutely love it. And you've given me so much hope. Like, it's as we always say, let's give each other our flowers.
Yeah.
Every time I worry about turning 40. And
don't worry,
not having a
fine.
Child yet and all of that. I look at you and I'm like, you know what? If she can live her life unapologetically, I mean, I think I pretty much live unapologetically anyways.
Yeah.
But if she can just literally rebrand, renew, reinvent as the day goes by.
And just do you.
So can you talk.
I tell people, just do you. I remember when I did my tattoo then, in the Yoruba industry was like a taboo. It was like... The media, they fed on it. It was like, oh, what's the big deal with tattoos, you know? And look at now, everybody almost has a tattoo. Everybody's doing it. Like, it's an it thing now. But then it was like, oh.
Yeah.
So just live your life. I live my life. You know, those days when we're on location, sometimes it got to a stage. I say, please, once it's weekend, don't call me for any job. I'm not coming. I'm going clubbing. I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to live my life. I want to have fun.
Mm. I think I'm not open. I think I need to be more open towards relationships. I know I'm closed off.
Yeah.
I like you. If you say hello, I don't even have to talk in stage. Like, I'm just, I don't want to meet people. I don't want to go out. I don't want to talk to anybody. I like going out with my friends.
Yeah.
Once anybody starts telling me, I like you. Ah, I leave them on red.
It's because of your experience.
It's not that. I think I've just come to a point that oh, she look winter. When I look at the dating scene today, I'm like, get on. Thank you. I'm good.
No, there's always one person out there. Oh, everybody's not bad. Everybody's not bad. There's
everybody's bad.
You might find your own Obimo, you know.
In me, Obimo. Even if I don't think they like me. Even men, I think I'm too much for them.
You never know. You might find someone like, you know, Polo. Polo is an Igbo man, but, you know, he's very exposed.
He is exposed.
Very, very exposed.
I mean, I'm not saying Igbo men are not exposed. I just feel like they're very, very, like...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can live under a man. Let's start there first.
I think that's a very strong one. I'm dealing with that. Because most times when I get to his place, after a few days, I want to run back.
I love my space, my bed.
I think that's what happens when you spend so many years by yourself.
Yes. And it's also like that. Sometimes I know that he wants to be by himself because he's been independent for the longest time.
Yes. You know? Now, finally, somebody gets it.
Yeah.
When I say it, my family members are always like, you have to make it. Because even with family, I don't visit people. Yeah. I don't spend the night in people's houses. I don't know how to do it. I love my bed. Yeah. Even when I travel, I miss my bed. If I could, I made my bed the way I made it because I love my bed. I love my space. I love my home. So sometimes I struggle. Yes. I don't want to date anybody. No crusty ass person coming to lie on my couch. No.
Yeah.
I don't want to come to your house. How about that? You know, I enjoy going to dinners. Yes. We travel.
But there,
so I sometimes feel as if I'm cut out to be like a second wife or a third wife. I think I am.
But you might meet someone like Paulo, because for him, he said to me, why don't you like coming here? I said, I don't know. It's not my house. Like, I don't. He said, okay, then make it your home. So he allowed that. I had to redo a lot of things myself. And he allowed it so that I can at least be comfortable. Like the kitchen, I did everything again. I don't want this. I don't want it. Okay, you don't want this. Okay, let's take it out. You don't want it. Okay, what else do you want? What else do you want? So he has
She's
to do,
about to get
he has
me
to do
sold.
Everything. And, you know, he said, oh, this picture, I love this, our picture. Let him make a bigger one. I said, where are we going to put it? It's in the living room. I said, oh, but we're not married. He said, yeah, let it be there so that you can feel like it's your home. So you can come around.
No, sis. I'm going to add Paulo to my prayer point. This is like Ciara right here. Like, what's the prayer, sis? Tell me the prayer you said. Like,
I did pray.
Share
I
the prayer.
No, I did not pray any single prayer. There was no prayer. But one thing I used to say then, I used to say to myself, like, if I'm eventually going to have someone, I want my own. I don't want to share. I want my own, you know. You can come. I want to share. Tell me about me. But I'm on my own.
I love the warning behind. Tell me about it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, then. Okay. This has been absolutely incredible. Thank you for making out the time. And I knew it was going to be. You see, the thing is, when I have an idea of having a guest, I always almost imagine what the conversation is going to be like.
Okay.
And congratulations, by the way, because you're the latest TV presenter.
Hey, I'm learning. I'm block. Learning. I'm looking at you. I'm learning.
Like,
I'm learning.
No, I'm sure you will ace it. I can't wait to come on your podcast so we can have this conversation as well. To be on the other side.
Yes, and ask you questions.
Yes, and I'm going to be as open as you were.
Okay.
So I can't wait for that to happen. Congratulations on anything. And on never giving up. Like, it was important for me to ask how you always knew. Because sometimes, you know, especially when we don't talk enough about how lonely it is at the top.
Yeah, it is.
You know, when you finally accomplish the things that were milestones for you at some point, and you're like, what next?
Yeah.
You know, you get to a point where you're like, what next?
What next?
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And then it can be a very daunting place and feeling to have. I tell people, when people think money is the answer to everything, it's because you don't have it.
Yes.
You know, I'm not saying I have all the money in the world, but I think I'm comfortable enough to say that at some point in life, you realize that money is like, you can have all that money and still feel what next? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so I'm happy that 40s is doing you good.
Yeah. Don't worry, everybody, when they clock 39, the only thing you think of when you're 39 is your 40. Like, oh, I'm going to be 40 next. You know? But today's your birthday. You're 39. Yes, I'm 39, but I'm going to be 40 like in a year. And then you begin to count the months and the days. And, you know,
tell me what I should expect, because sis, I can't even lie.
See, did you watch that movie called Stella Got a Groove Back?
Yes.
That's how you're going to feel when you're 40.
Really? I hope so.
Yes, you're going to feel. You want to have your groove back. And you're going to have fun, you know.
I feel like it's easier for you to say that because, I mean, you've had your kids. Do you know what I mean? These days, sometimes I wake up, like, traumatized. I'm like, am I going to just come to this world and just go like that?
Yeah, but you see, there's IVF. There's
I know.
Surrogates. Which there's so many things now.
Yeah. I feel like I've always been into this wanting to have kids. Because of my trauma.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? For a long time, it's been my own trauma that's always wanted me to say, if I don't have a father and a mother figure for that child, I don't want to do it. Because I know how crazy life was. Even if life was good on my end, like someone else would look at you and say, you didn't have it that bad. Your parents might have died, but you didn't end up on the streets. Same with you. I can leave, you know. But then you know what your demons are.
Yes.
And for me, it's important for me to
not, I don't want my children to go through what I just don't, you know, when you feel like, I know that's going to be my trap. I know that that's what's going to break me. I can take anything, but I know that when I have a child, I'm going to live for that child. Yes. So it scares me.
Yes.
I know that already I feel scared at the thought of having a child. Like, if anything happens to my child, what am I going to do?
But you see, that's part of living. It's part of living. And everybody's got a story to tell. You about to clock 40.
It's still a minute. It's,
I know.
You calm down.
But you know what? But you know what? You've achieved a lot. You have your own home or homes. You have your business. You have your name. You have your money. You have everything. When I was clocking 40, I had my kids, but I had my fame and everything. But I didn't have my own home, my own house.
Mm.
So everybody's different. You what you look forward to is, let me now rewrite
my history.
What is that thing that I am lacking that I want to add to my life? And you will
make me
add it.
Yes. So much.
So having a child at 40 or at 50 or at 60, whatever age that happens, that child is going to grow. Whether you're there or whether you're not there, the child will grow. You must know that. That's number one. So it's now left for you to say, you know what? I want to have a child now. I'm 40. And life now is so good that you can have it through some other means if your body doesn't want to go through that process.
Mm. I think I would like to go through the process. I'm not sure yet. But I think
so, I mean, It's you can have whatever you want.
Thank you.
I never knew that I would fall in love at 45. I was 45 when I was 44 going to 45. Yeah, I was 44 going to 45 when I fell in love. I never knew at 44 I was going to meet. I love. Okay, don't let me say this one.
Say it, please. You love.
Yeah. You know what? You know. Let me. Don't let me say. But you know, I never knew that I was just going to like fall in love for real. I never knew I was going to buy my house when I was it 42 or 43. So anything can happen, but 40 is the new 20. In those days, our mothers at 40, they're already looking old. They're already tired up on their chest.
Mm.
I mean, look at us. Look at me at 45, going to 46. I'm still looking sexy.
Snatched.
Girl.
I love it.
So,
and on that note, there's nothing else to say.
Nothing.
There's absolutely nothing else to ask her. At 45, looking like she's a baddie at 28.
You know.
Girl, thank you so much for inspiring. This you did for me.
Thank you.
And I'm grateful.
Yeah.
And I hope that we get to sit down again when it all happens for me.
Thank you.
I hope I get to tell you that you said it and life got really good.
It will go good. It will, don't worry.
It will. It's accomplishment for my podcast. It's so,
oh, sorry.
Time.
Okay, no, so we need to hug. Don't worry.
Yeah.
It will happen. It will, definitely.
And I'm holding you to that.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, guys. I'm still a hot bitch, okay? Just because I cried a little bit. But thank you guys for watching. I will catch up with you guys in the next episode of Talking Moments.
All right. Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Tsinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.